To God. So we're going to get into it this morning. I'm so glad that we can laugh in church and enjoy God's word and apply it to our life. So Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, God, that we have the freedom to be here this morning, to open up your word and freely give your word. Thank you, Lord, that when I open my mouth, that Lord, you fill it with your words, that it's not about me. Just like we saw, it's not about me, Lord, but it's all about you. Lord, that you fill the hearts and minds this morning with your word, the transformational word. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So we're going to talk about being part of a team. Amen. Being part of Team Jesus. Amen. So when you are part of a team, you get a uniform. You usually get a uniform of some kind. Yeah. You start to train. You have a coach. And there's deeper things that happen also. When you get a uniform and when you are a part of a team, there's something called identity that starts to happen. There is something with a family dynamic that starts to take place. And there is purpose Amen. That starts to take place. Amen. Are you a part of Team Jesus this morning? Are you a part of that team? I mean, we might be coming to church, we might be sitting in the chairs, but are we really a part of that team, doing something, training, going out and doing something for the Lord? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12:27. And we can do New King James Version. We're going to read some scriptures concerning this. Now ye are, thank you. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Let's do the ESV version, please. I usually don't go into this, but when I was studying, I had transferred everything into ESV. That's ERV. I'm not sure if that will be the same. All of you together are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of that body. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a part of that body. Say, I'm a part of that team. Hebrews 10:25. We must not quit meeting together as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. How many can say glory to God to that? We need that, amen? This becomes more and more important as you see the day getting closer. Can we have that in the New King James Version also? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We live in a world that is starting to step away from assembling ourselves together. Because we can watch things on Facebook and YouTube, and we are surrounded by, you know, we can really get on there and listen to messages and different things. But know what Jesus told us? We are supposed to, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. So we are not only a part of a team, we are a part of a family. Let's turn to John 1:12. I think these are an ESV also. Do we have the ESV? Oh, we don't. Okay. Let's just keep it in New King James Version then. John 1:12, please. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. To those who believe in his name. Do we have believers in the house? Amen. Do we have believers in the house? Hallelujah. Then we have the right. As Americans, we like our rights. He gave the right to become children of God. We are children of God. Hallelujah. We're a part of that family. Let's go to Romans 8:14. That's just what I have it all in, so that's okay. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're led by the Spirit of God, amen? We are led by the Spirit of God. And that's something that you can say to yourself, I am led by the Spirit of God because I am a daughter, I am a son of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Can we say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. You're part of that family. You are a part of that team.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was listening to a coach, and I should have written down his name. It seemed like it was maybe a few years ago, but I was listening to a coach talk about his team winning the Super Bowl. He said everyone on that team now had one goal. They were now living for the end zone. Their focus for living was the goal to win. They are living for the end zone. Their goal was to win. Everyone that is a part of Team Jesus is now living for the end zone, amen? We are living for victory. We're living to win in life, hallelujah. Glory to God. So one thing on this Team Jesus, if we can say it like that, as a team, we run to win. We are living to win, amen? Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. We can do Amplified Classic on this, please. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have been borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. There's so much in that one verse, but throwing aside everything, all the sin that is holding us back, and let us run with patient endurance. Patient endurance. Steady and active. Active, that means we get up and do something. Active persistence. The appointed course of that race that is set before us. Hallelujah. We're running. We're running that race. We're running to win. Let's turn to Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win. Isn't that so close to how that coach had put it?
Amen.
I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. I press on. Can we point to ourselves and say, I press on. I press on. I press on. Not just the pastors, not just your neighbor next to you, but we individually press on toward the goal to win the supreme heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word press is used in this scripture. That word holds the essence that there is something holding you back, that you are pushing through. Effort is being used to move forward. If you think about it, there is pressure of some kind coming against you that you have to overcome to move forward.
Yes,
that is what that word press means. I press toward the goal.
Yes,
that means you are pushing through. You are pressing on. That word means pressure. So let's talk about pressures for a second. 2 Corinthians 4:8. And we can just do New King James Version on that, please. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Paul's talking to us here. We are hard pressed on every side. We are hard pressed on every side. Sometimes we can handle pressure coming from one side because we can just turn the other way to get out of that pressure. Or we can, you know, if it's coming from this side, we can turn this way and just to relieve the pressure. But when it's pressed on every side, pressed on every side. Think about Paul on the island of Malta. He shook off that snake that had latched onto his hand. Like it was nothing. How many have looked at other, so let's think about this. So you're going in life and there's pressures and it feels like there's pressure on every side. How many people feel like when you look to your neighbor that they don't have any pressures at all? They're skating through life, they're dancing through life, they are just going right on through, but your hair is all tousled and you have one shoe on, one shoe off, you don't know what's going on, you know, that the pressures of life, but you're up there, you're making it, you're doing one step in front of the other, which is great.
Yeah. Amen.
But you look to your neighbor and they're like, and you know the pressures that they're going through. How are they doing this so easily? Well, we can think about Paul with that snake. He just shook it off.
Yeah,
other people, that would not be the case. If there was a snake that latched onto my hand, I can tell you, I would glory to God, I would do the same thing. But I don't know if that would be my first natural response to doing that. But hallelujah, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, maybe something would rise up and I would just shake that off. Hallelujah. But sometimes you see somebody at a point in life, but you don't know what they've gone through already. So let's talk about those pressures that Paul just came out of before he shook off that snake. So Acts 27, and Heather, I'm going to be skipping down through these verses because Acts 27, you guys have to study this out. I wanted to read the whole thing, but for time's sake, we're going to skip through and just hit the highlights. But he's talking about how he was in the shipwreck. Acts 27:1. So it's going to set the stage a little bit. When the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the Imperial Regiment. So he is in chains. He is a prisoner, and he is being placed on this ship. Verse 7. We had several days of slow sailing. You don't ever want to have slow sailing. And great difficulty, and you really don't want great difficulty. All right, we're going to go down to verse 8. You can go home and read this whole thing because it's amazing. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty. Verse 9, we had lost a lot of time. It is not looking good on this trip, on this boat. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea level because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officer about it. And I will just sum this up. They did not listen to Paul. He was a prisoner. But at least he stepped up and tried to say what he needed to say.
Amen.
Verse 14. But the weather changed abruptly, and the wind of typhoon strength called the northeastern busted across the island and blew us out to sea. That's not a good thing. Talk about pressure. 18. The next day, a gale force wind continued to battle the ship, and the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. When you see that happening, I can guarantee you there is some mental pressure. There is some maybe some fear happening in them. They are throwing over their cargo at this point. Verse 19. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. Verse 20, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and stars, until at last all hope was gone. Pressure. 21, no one had eaten for a long time. Sometimes in our head, skip a meal, right? No, you can go on. Just recently did a little fast, and it wakes you up. Your body, your natural body starts talking real loud. But he's writing here, no one had eaten for a long time, and he's going to describe what that looks like in a second. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. Verse 22, but take courage.
Yeah.
But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. So he's talking by the unction of what the Holy Spirit has told him. Verse 27, let's skip down to verse 27. About midnight on the 14th night of the storm. It's telling you they have not eaten for 14 days so far. Verse 30. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. Verse 31. And Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, "You will all die unless the sailors stay aboard." 32. So the soldiers cut the ropes and the lifeboats and left it adrift away. They're starting to listen to Paul at this point. 33. Just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. "You have been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks," he said. 34, "Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your head will perish." Let's go down to verse 41. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast, and the stern was repeatedly smashed into the force of the by the force of the waves and began to break apart. Talk about pressure from all sides.
Amen.
42, the soldiers, okay, here's another pressure from this side, pressure from this side, because verse 42, the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners. He's a prisoner. Yeah. They wanted to kill the prisoners, make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape.
Yeah.
Pressure from all sides. Amen. 43, but the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land. The others held onto the planks and debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely to shore.
Amen.
Then we get to Acts 28, verse 3. Acts 28, verse 3. And Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, and a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. That's when this happens. A snake biting you on the hand at this point? Not today. I don't think so. At that point, so sometimes when we look at other people, look at our neighbors, and they're just sailing on through life, and you know all these pressures are around them, and they're sailing on through, and feel like you're barely making it. You don't know what they've been through in the past. This is easy for them because, glory to God, they have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, through the other things in life. And you can take that as encouragement that you can get through also, amen, glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's neat that he didn't rebuke the snake. He didn't pray for 10 minutes before he let it go. He just shook it off.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do with the pressures in our life. Amen.
Amen.
Just shake it off and move forward.
Amen.
Ooh. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:8 again. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. I'm going to just say this. There's a saying, we've probably all heard it, pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah.
Pressure makes diamonds, right? But let's correct that for a second. Pressure handled correctly makes diamonds.
Amen.
Pressure handled correctly, correct pressure. It's a way of doing it. Pressure handled correctly makes diamonds. Pressure handled incorrectly makes dumb decisions. Pressure handled incorrectly,
amen,
can make divorce.
Yeah.
Amen.
Pressure handled incorrectly can lead to death.
Yeah.
Worry, doubt, fear leading your life, bombarding your mind.
Yeah.
Pressure handled incorrectly can lead to death, but pressure handled correctly can make diamonds.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Because, know why? We know how to handle the pressure.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't. It's not by our strength.
That's right.
It's by the strength of God living on the inside of us.
Amen.
So we like that part. Not crushed. We are not crushed. We usually shout at that part. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Glory to God, amen.
Amen.
That's where we like to shout. Yeah. But the scripture also tells us that pressure can crush.
Yes.
And that it's vitally important that we know how to handle that pressure. If you don't know how to handle the pressure, it can crush you. If you don't know how to handle the pressure, that snake bite will kill you. If you don't know how to handle that pressure of a shipwreck in your life, you'll drown. 2 Corinthians 4:8, we can finish this up here. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. That is mental pressure. Mental pressure at work, in your marriage, with family. That mental pressure. Amen. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Yeah. Glory Amen. To God. Struck down, but not destroyed. Glory Amen. To God. We get ourselves back up. Amen. That's a part of being a team, part of being in the family of God, that they help you get back up when you're struck down. Amen. Hallelujah. Like Paul, like athletes, we need to train.
Yeah.
We need to know the word of God concerning the pressures in this world.
Amen.
Pressures from the enemy. We need to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We see the pressure put on Paul compared to the pressure, and can I say power, on the inside of him, pushing back on that because he had a word from the Lord.
Amen.
That he knew that he was going to get to the other side. He knew where he was going because God already told him, no, you're going to go over there and you're going to talk to that king.
Amen.
The power of Jesus in Paul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians 2:15. We have that power on the inside of us. And the word of God tells us. And when you feel like you need a pep talk, you need that coach in that locker room, these are the scriptures that you can bring out.
Amen.
Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, hallelujah, triumphing over them in it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's go to James 4:7. Triumphing over them. Hallelujah. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Can we say he will?
He will.
He will.
He will.
He will flee from you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Revelations 12:11. And they have overcome. Can we say, and we have overcome?
Amen.
And we and I have overcome. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life unto death.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Guess what? We have peace in Jesus.
Yes.
We have peace in Jesus when there's a storm around us, when there's pressures around us, when there's a big linebacker running for you. We have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Tell somebody, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God is good. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:57. These are some things that you need to have handy when you are faced with some opposition, faced with some things in life. We need to be able to get these out, say them to ourselves, speak them over our life, speak them over the situation. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory. Guess what? He gave you the victory.
Yeah.
He gave you the victory. We have the victory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Teams also have to know their opponent. We have to know who we're coming up against.
Yes.
Yes. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're getting in the scriptures today, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 2:11. It tells us, the Bible tells us what Satan is like, what the devil is like, what the enemy is like, and what he's going to try. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
We are not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's going to do, what he's going to try. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
The wiles of the devil. Our English word wiles is generally used to express deception through trickery.
Yeah.
Deception through trickery, and includes all the methods that would be part of that. It has to do with cunning or skill applied to no good purpose.
Yeah. Amen.
That is what that word wile means.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
The Bible helps us, tells us how we need to handle that.
Amen.
Let's go to Isaiah 59:19. I like this scripture. This is an interesting scripture. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go back one more time. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. With this scripture, some of the commentaries were discussing that there could have been a misplacement of the comma. Misplacement of the comma after the word flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, that's where they put the comma. But there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of back and forth about if that comma was supposed to be placed there or if the comma was supposed to be placed after, let me just make sure I find it, when the enemy comes in, comma. So it would read, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will rise up a standard against him. Puts a whole different perspective on what that is trying to say. So we can look at it, and both ways are good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we can look at it two different ways. What is our perspective? Where's the comma in our life? Are we focusing on what the devil's trying to do in our life and the enemy comes in like a flood? Are we focusing on the enemy coming in like a flood?
Yeah. Amen.
Is that our focus? Or are we focusing on God Almighty, the great I am, hallelujah, your provider, your protector?
Yeah.
Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah,
amen.
Glory to God. Amen. That is our focus.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord comes in, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So I was reading some things about teams and different things, and there was this snippet about how to psych out your opponent, right? So, you know, teams are always trying to do that. Boxers do that a lot, trying to psych out their opponent. And it's all about telling your opponent something until they start to believe what you're saying. You know, kind of trash talking type of deal that they do with teams and
Amen.
Boxers and whatnot. They are trying to psych out their opponent because it's all in here.
Yeah.
It's all in the mind. And we know, we've said it several times. I mean, it sounds just like the devil just right here, but the devil only has one tool, the power of suggestion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because when we take that thought, when we start meditating on what those lies that he's trying to tell you,
yeah.
That's when things start to change.
Yes. Yeah.
That should not be changing.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:8-9.
Hallelujah.
We have to know our opponent. If we're on Team Jesus, we need to know the enemy. We need to know our opponent. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Okay, let's start here. 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings that are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Let's go back to the first one real quick. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. That means he's being loud. And we've heard different things about the roaring lion. The lion that roars is that old lion that has that big roar, but no more teeth. The toothless lion, but he got a big roar. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:5. He tells us how to overcome this psych out that the devil's trying to do over your life. Yeah. This is how we handle this. Yeah. Casting down imaginations. Amen. Says casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. Amen. Every thought. Into captivity. We take that thought and we put it through that lens of the obedience of Christ. Yes. We take every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me flip my paper here. Let's go to the next verse right here. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If it does not, if it does not line up to the word of God and what God says about Amen. You and your life, Amen. You cast it down.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Matthew 6:31. And Pastor Ricky touched on this just a little bit. But yes, we take every thought captive. But how do you know when we start actually receiving that thought? We say taking that thought. And Matthew 6:31, just the beginning of this, therefore do, King James Version on this one, please, because the wording is where we need it to be. New King James is good also, but we're working on. Therefore take no thought saying. So that thought will come. If we don't grab that thought and take it under the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we actually take that thought, what happens? You know when you take it, when you start to say it.
Yes.
Take Amen. No thought saying.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's how we overcome our opponent. It's all about the mental. It's all about getting in the word. It's captivating those thoughts that he tries to put into your mind. And controlling what we say. Hallelujah. I found some quotes today, athletic quotes that I thought would maybe be appropriate. One is, don't practice till you get it right. Practice till you can't get it wrong.
Amen.
That was good. I was like, woo, glory to God. Don't practice till you get it right. Practice till you can't get it wrong. And this will take practice, capturing those thoughts. If you've never started controlling what you're thinking about, it's going to take some time. Yes. If you never started controlling, I shouldn't be saying this because it goes against the word of God,
yes.
It's going to take some practice. Yes. Don't practice till you get it right. Practice till you can't get it wrong. That means you keep on practicing.
Yes.
Babe Ruth said, it's hard to beat a person who never gives up.
Amen.
Glory to God, and we won't ever give up. How many have seen those games where an athlete almost gets that last shot, almost gets that last point to win, almost, you know, they're running a race and they don't win by like a half inch, and your heart's like, no, you know, you feel for the team, you're sad, you feel for that athlete where they almost, but guess what? Almost isn't good enough. Now for us as Christians, glory to God, when we do something, we fall down, we get ourselves back up, hallelujah, the body of Christ and the other people on Team Jesus help us through, but there's one time in life that almost isn't good enough. There's one time. Let's go to Acts 26. In this, Paul is talking to King Agrippa. And I'm going to try to read this in King James Version, so you can keep it right there. This will be interesting. Hopefully you can. And this is another one that, verse 1, please. And I'm going to be skipping down through. And this is so good. This is one of those ones that you just had, you know, wish we had 3 hours here that we can just read the word, but you have to be able to read the Bible. Make sure you're reading your Bible at home every day, amen? But this is one of them where Paul is telling his testimony. So we'll just start right here. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. We can do verse 2 here. "I think myself happy." Can we just stay there for a second? "I think myself happy." Now, mind you, he is in chains. He is a prisoner at this point. Just because he's doing what God has asked him to do. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things, therefore I am accused of the Jews." Let's go down to verse 23. So he goes through his testimony, and it is powerful, and it's amazing to read. I'm going to get through here. So in part of this testimony on verse 23, "that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Let's keep on going down here. "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside yourself. Much learning doth make thee mad.'" He's saying that you are mad. You have lost your mind. Let's see here. Yes, verse 25. "But he said, 'I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. 26. "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded," Paul's saying, "I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." Now he's talking about this king. I actually looked up King Agrippa. He's the grandson of the king that had Jesus there. So Herod, King Herod, the one that killed John the Baptist. And he's the grandson. He saw all of these things. He heard of Jesus rising from the dead. So kind of put this in perspective. So Paul is talking to him. "For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, but this thing was not done in a corner." 27 here. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" He's asking him this. "I know that thou believest." 28. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.'" Almost. Almost. Almost isn't good enough.
Amen.
And you might say, well, we serve a loving God. Why would a loving God send someone to hell? God never sent anybody to hell. We choose. There is a choice that is made.
Amen. Amen.
There is a choice everyone has to make. And because God is a God of love, he is also just. He can't change or bend the rules for you or for me. Because that is called being unjust. That is not love.
Amen.
Almost isn't good enough. When we face the throne of God and you say, I almost became a Christian. I almost received your son. My mom was a Christian. I was a good person. On that Sunday morning when I was at church, I almost raised my hand to accept Jesus Christ. Almost is not good enough.
Amen.
There is a choice to be made. You will have to answer. The Bible says, choose life or death. It says, choose life. Gives you a hint. Choose life. That is what We do. We choose life. When we choose Jesus, we choose, and there's a scripture that says, the good life. Amen. Amen. Choose eternal life. Amen. Don't walk away this morning with, well, I almost. Yeah. I almost. Amen. And go back to the pressures of life. When Jesus is there and says, I've already conquered. I've already made you the victory. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's pray. Father God, your presence in this place, Lord. Father God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus and thank you for this word that you have presented to us. You have made a way out of these pressures. You have already defeated Satan and made a show of him openly. Amen. You have given us the victory and the authority. Thank you, Lord, for accepting us as your son and your daughter. That we are a part of your family, that you are our Lord and our God and our Father. But if there is anybody here today, I need to ask you a question that can change where you are at for eternity. Do you know Jesus as Lord? Have you received God's Son in your life? Do not let today be almost. If that is you, raise your hand. We want to show you your next steps. I'm looking around. Hallelujah. Father God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to spend another second here. Glory to God. Can I also say, if you've stepped away and you need to step back into the family of God, there is grace and there is mercy for that also. If that is you today, Jesus has his arms wide open. You can run back into the arms of Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. I'm looking around one more time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Father God, I thank you, Jesus, that everybody in this place has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we know our authority. Glory to God, that we know that we are a part of Team Jesus, that we know how to handle our opponent, that we know how to get out of these pressures of life, how to overcome the lies of Satan. I thank you, Lord, that we are victorious. Glory to God. That we are winning in life through your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise this morning. Can everybody say amen?